B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I grew up a fan of the St. Louis Cardinals. My favorite player was Stan Musial. My heart would have been broken if Stan the Man had ever been traded for any reason. We no longer live in the Musial or Williams era. Players have rights they should have had when Stan and Ted played. At one point, Stan thought about going to Mexico in order to be paid his value. He was offered $175,000 over 5 years to play in the Mexican League when he was making $13,500 a year. The Cardinal owner went to Mexico to try to stop it.
Stanley F. Museum.
Maybe baseball has a problem in that all their references are really old, too.
Really relates to the young fans,
I mean, this
right?
guy, this owner of the Red Sox, this is the owner of the team, John Henry, trying to tell the young fans,
I know how you feel. I would have felt the same way if Stan Musial had been traded.
Send him down to old Mexico.
I was a freshman in college, and I came back home, and my dad took me down to this little house in Monongahela. Because there was a man by the name of Stan Musial that came back home. And Stan's from a high school. And I remember walking into his living room. And he got up out of his chair and he had a cane. And
how long ago was this?
This was 1987?
30 plus years ago, Stan the Man was ancient.
Were you invited into his home?
He was back visiting relatives. And they said, come on down. Stan's family.
These two. To my dad's here
family.
Again.
Like they're friends of the family. So they said, Stan's coming back. And this happened when Montana would come back too. And we'd show up. We kind of just show up.
I'm sure Joe Montana enjoyed that.
Joe really loved
up.
It. Joe had this
aunt. The Zolaks
aunt,
are here
Joe had
again.
This aunt Eleanor.
Wonderful. Every yokel in three counties just stopping by.
Joe's aunt Eleanor was the worst. She had silver hair and she had big Coke bottle glasses. And she would tell the whole town when Joey was coming back, and everybody knew. And like Joe would show up like, Jesus, in Eleanor. Thanks a lot. Joe didn't come back much after that. Yeah. But I remember meeting Stan when I was like a kid. And this is who...
Yeah, he was old then.
So the owner of the Red Sox is trying to explain why he's not signing Mookie Betts, but then rolls out the Stan Musial reference.
I mean... How long has it been since Ted Williams passed away? Like 20 years?
Even they're young kids. My kid has no clue who Ted Williams is.
You're trying to explain things to a little kid with Stan Musial? Like, these guys are so out of touch. It's painful sometimes.
He's going to go.
You're like, what?
He's going to go to Mexico and order play for $175,000.
And at the time,
5 years,
the territory of Arizona was largely untamed. It was very rough traveling. Through that area.
You know that anyone who accepted a deal...
Had to employ several centuries to make it through safely.
Anyone who accepted a deal in the Mexican League...
Flies biplane. With his goggles.
Was automatically suspended 5 years for Major League Baseball.
Suspended for trying to go to Mexico?
If you signed a deal in Mexico, you were automatically suspended 5 years by Major League Baseball. For trying to leave them when there was no free agency... To go play in the Mexican League resulted in an automatic 5-year suspension. Maybe that's why Stan Musial didn't go. And that's why I didn't sign and stayed with the Cardinals instead. But anyway, this entire statement that John Henry read in its entirety, wow, that's quite a bit. Just to answer the simple question, why'd you trade Mookie Betts? Why? Why'd you do it?
Mexico.
And the answer now is...
Mexico.
Right now, at least for now, this could change at any point in time, that it didn't have anything to do with the CBT, as he told Michael Silverman, and that it was solely about not willing to get nothing in their mind from Mookie Betts.
Mm. Good reason. And then he goes on to equate to bring up the Nomar trade when they traded Nomar.
That was an odd comparison.
Nomar, who sat there in the dugout and sulked because he didn't play against the Yankees, and Jeter dove into the stands. And nobody wanted Nomar after that. And you're going to compare Nomar to Mookie Betts. That's the parting with him. You went on to win a championship after you traded Nomar. Your team changed. That was odd. Unless he really believes that. Maybe he really believes that, though. That's what's scary. Well, we had to part with Nomar, like we part with Mookie, and things come to an end. And, you know, you gotta get past that. That was tough. Those were tough days. No, that really wasn't a tough day.
Yeah, Nomar was not traded because the team was afraid of not getting anything for him if he left.
Nomar became hurt, then there was PD.
They traded him because they thought they could be better without him, right, and with whatever they were getting back, which was,
and he was breaking
Cabrera
down, right?
And Minkiewicz.
Did he start to break down at that time, too?
Yeah, he was hurt.
Yeah.
He had injuries. So I thought it was that was a bad comparison. Talking Stan Musial was bad. And again, it's such an odd thing to have an owner who's been very good. You know, he's been great. He's been a great owner. They won the World Series four times. And to have fans look at the guy and say, you never tell the truth. Are you telling the truth? Am I supposed to trust you? There are people that often say sell the team. It's a weird spot.
It is. Is there a less grateful fan base to an owner that has brought you four world titles in sports?
You'd be hard pressed to find it. A fan base that doesn't particularly like their owner.
Like if the Knicks won four titles.
Yeah, despite right.
Like Dolan, yeah.
Dolan sells the Knicks tomorrow to someone that comes in and wins four NBA titles in 16 years, right? Do I have that right? They did it four. And you're gonna look at that owner and say, oh, this guy, what a fraud. Sell the team. You can't even fathom that.
No, you can't.
But that is what you have here. And I think it's because of things like this. Who advises them on these things?
Who's the one
who makes that call?
That's my point.
Is it him?
He didn't sit there. Like, if that's really you talking, you sit there and you talk. You don't read a prepared statement.
And you go through 14 paragraphs before you get to the part about why they traded Mookie.
Right. Like the best thing about John Henry is when you talk to him. Because like it sounds like he's telling you the truth, or that's truly what he feels, and he feels genuine. I hate prepared statements. Prepared statements mean you're scrambling because something got screwed up. And it's like eight people came together. Well, let's scratch this one out. Put this word in. Put this phrase in. You know?
I just saw a great tweet that was sent to all of us.
What?
It says, oh boy, Joe Thornton was just spotted at Logan.
I saw that.
And it's a picture of Larry Fitzgerald at the Hertz counter. 617-779-0985. That and David Ortiz as well, his press conference that he held at spring training, and your calls on the Bruins, on Tom Brady, on Red Sox ownership and where they stand with things. All that's coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yes, as a player, we are a big part of a team, but we also are replaceable. I'm not saying that we're going to replace Mookie tomorrow, but sometime another player can show up and do things that can help you to win ball game. You know what I'm saying? And this is an organization that really appreciate what as a player we bring to the table, but they also know how to fix the spot somehow, some way.
It's David Ortiz. in a press conference the other day at Red Sox spring training. That was a sight. Ortiz up there talking about how Manfred's doing a good job. Everyone get off his back.
Be careful. He's a local hero, okay?
Yeah.
Just be careful.
Trade Mookie. You got to trade Mookie, which is what he was spouting a couple weeks ago. Manfred's doing a good job. Mike Fiers is a snitch. He's a snitch. Everyone should know that. What else am I missing in there?
Oh, signed a man.
Oh, the Verdugo stuff.
The Verdugo.
And that's just the cap.
Well, when
that's
he first caught his eye.
That's how you know that Ortiz is up there and he's bought and paid for by everybody involved. By Manfred, who gave him the presidential pardon on PEDs when he retired. By casting doubt on the test results in 2003. The test results that determined that baseball was going to have testing, by the way.
Right.
The commissioner was willing to say that there's some scientific doubt about those results. So much doubt that it was the testing used to put more testing in the sport and make it permanent. Mm. But he gives Ortiz the pardon, so Ortiz is giving that favor back to Manfred. Everyone's got to get off Manfred. Don't criticize Rob Manfred. I mean, if anyone in baseball deserves criticism, isn't Rob Manfred like the easiest one?
Yeah, because you knew it. You heard about it.
That guy deserves everything he's got coming his way.
Yeah.
But Ortiz says, no, Manfred doing his job on the up and up. Okay, therefore, you know what else must be true?
Cora.
Alex Cora must be really, really guilty of things.
This is one of the worst guys.
The way Rob Manfred has said.
Yeah, if you're pro Manfred, then Cora's really, really dirtbag.
Cora's going to go away for a long time.
Yep.
But I didn't hear anything on Cora. I may have missed it. I searched. I went back and looked. I didn't find any Ortiz comments on Cora. I didn't hear Ortiz talk about the three unnamed players that spoke to, or I shouldn't say players, three unnamed members of the Red Sox organization.
Yeah.
Why didn't he get up there and on the soapbox and start yelling about the snitches in the organization? Is he down there trying to find the snitches in the club? What's he doing? Are they still there? Have they all moved on? What does he know about the Red Sox snitches? He should be talking about that too. What does he got on Red Sox snitches, since he's very concerned with who's snitching, even though Mike Fiers put his name to it? He's on record. He didn't try and conceal his identity. So he's there. Give Fiers a lot of credit for putting his name to it and saying what it is he said. That's all. And then the Verdugo stuff, which is
I don't really know much about Verdugo. It wasn't one of the biggest names there, but like, I mean, Ortiz is a baseball guy. He's legendary. If he popped to him on a certain stage, then I got to take it for truth of what it is.
He's doing the work of ownership up there. And when ownership says go up there and, you know, prop up Verdugo and tell everyone how great Verdugo is.
Ortiz, I almost won a World Series.
Ortiz went up there. And, Jim, we should play it again.
Turn the radios up, folks, on
Ortiz
this one.
Ortiz on Verdugo. I mean, he's obviously an analyst now for TBS, right?
Yeah.
Ortiz.
Big-time gig.
He worked the playoffs last year. He was healthy enough to come back and work the playoffs.
Right.
It was obviously Verdugo had caught his eye. Yeah, right.
To be honest with you, during the playoff last year, he was one of the players that caught my attention at the most. Because everybody's focused on Bellinger. Everybody's focused on the second baseman. Everybody's focused on the third baseman. Everybody's focused on Kershaw. Everybody's focused. He was the one peacemaker to take pressure away from the big guy. And let me tell you why. He was getting on base a lot. And he was distracting the pitchers because of his speed also. So when you have a guy like that on base, as a pitcher, you know, you kind of freaking out because you don't know what he's going to do next.
Jackrabbit.
So for me as a hitter, it's good because now you're going to miss location more than what you normally do when that guy's not on base. You agree with me on that? So I see this kid just banging everywhere, and I'm like, man, where this kid came from? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm so glad that we got him.
Hey, so, Tom, how many times was he on base in the playoffs, sir?
That would be 0.0 times because he didn't play in the playoffs. His season ended on August 4th last year.
My wife's birthday. That'd be perfect.
You agree with me on that?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Sure, David.
I saw him all over there. Man, he was banging. No. He was banging in those playoffs.
He scared the hell out of him pitchers.
He was terrific.
You seen him pitchers next when he was
While you guys were all watching Kershaw,
yeah.
Ortiz was watching Verdugo in the playoffs.
Running around the bases like a jackrabbit.
He didn't say playoffs. Where? He didn't say Major League Baseball playoffs. It could have been a subsidiary league.
Mexican league.
It could have been some kind of a rehab league for those who are, have undergone serious injury.
I think Stan Musial was playing in that league last fall, too.
Unbelievable.
How do they back him off this?
They're not. They won't address it.
Well, they got that. Would not put him out there anymore.
I don't think people even noticed.
Okay, real hardcore baseball people would notice.
He goes up there with the things he needs to do. Defend my guy Manfred because he takes care of me.
Well, that's different.
Defend my guy John Henry on all fronts because he takes care of me.
That's different.
And that's what leads to this.
Those are personal things. This is
that's
not.
That's what leads to it.
This makes you not a good analyst. you know? This is like when you're Stephen A. Smith and you're sitting there debating Teddy Bruschi talking about tight end that's not playing because he's on injured reserve. And that's not good. So are you supposed to believe him every time else he tells you something? What are you laughing at?
Sorry, we're having some developing NHL news today.
Oh.
And just whenever I hear this name or see this name, all I think of is Big Jim Murray. Because
Johnny Gaudreau!
Derek Will said, Johnny Gaudreau just left the ice at Flames practice. Not sure why. I'll tell you why.
Johnny Gaudreau's a Bruin!
I hope it happens to Gardner Show. I do. I hope it happens to Gardner Show.
Oh, classic line.
What, Murray? What?
Johnny Gaudreau's a Bruin.
And if Calgary's going to pay him $7-8 million a year? What, Murray? What?
According to Drager, Johnny Gaudreau is a Bruin.
It wasn't Drager.
I saw Drager was taking some crap over the weekend. He reported a trade and then 12 minutes later unreported the trade.
Whoops.
I saw he was taking a lot of heat on the Twitter. 617-779-0985. And Verdugo was in the playoffs last year. Rick is in Pittsburgh. Rick.
Hey, guys.
Rick, you ever been to Stan Musial's house? Yeah.
I actually grew up near Ringgold, which is funny. I have never been, but, it's really, really good way for Manfred or Henry to keep in touch with the young fan base.
Relatable. Very relatable.
I just moved up here from Pittsburgh. I live in Providence now, and it's like the 2018 World Series never happened here. It's insane to me. In a town where we celebrate one playoff win in the past 30 years in Pittsburgh, I understand the entitlement from the fans. You guys win a lot of titles here, but just, like I said, it's like 2018 never even happened.
Oh, it happened.
In what regard?
That's why you're so people are so pissed right now.
And that there's no appreciation for ownership? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I mean, the team is good. It's still extremely competitive. And they won the World Series not a year ago.
Yeah, but they missed
this
the playoff.
This is why people are pissed.
Yeah, well, okay. And I think he's tapped into something here because, yeah, they missed the playoffs last year with largely the same team. No Porcello, no closer. You can make cases that there were some differences, but the core of it is still there with Betts and Martinez, and you've got David Price, love him or hate him, Chris Sale, if he can get back, there's enough reason to believe that they weren't as bad as they were last year. They're not the 2018 team, and maybe that's right. What he's referencing. Like people just seem to because I think Red Sox fans realize that 108 win team that was off the charts. You can't expect that again, but you can expect something better than what you had last year until now. Now maybe you can't.
I traded away your best pitcher and your best player.
Arguably your best pitcher and, yes, your best position player. Sure. That's why people don't want to talk about 18 anymore, because anything that could have gotten you close, even to the halfway point of what you had in 18, you just traded away. Oh, I know you got significant and substantial value back, but nobody believes that either. That's why they're pissed.
Right.
That team is gone, and they feel like they're being lied to about it.
Joe's in Connecticut. Hi, Joe.
What's up, boys?
Hey.
I was going to have a wild kind of intro, like, hey, how you doing? Because I was hoping that Zoe would impersonate it, but he's not going to. So I got two questions for you, and then I'll hang up. So the first one is, so in the past 2 weeks with all the reports and all the, you know, all the memes and all the pop culture that's come out, everyone hates the Astros. That's like the general consensus. And I thought it was hilarious. They were not only stealing signs, they were also literally stealing signs from fans that had the Houston in the asterisk mark. That was hilarious. But the point is you know, there's a part of me that's a little thankful that even though the Red Sox are roped into that conversation of cheating, they haven't really been dragged through the mud nearly as bad as the Astros, and I'm a little thankful for that.
Well, the Astros weren't dragged through the mud until the report and the findings were back from baseball.
Yeah, the report's not
right, but you know what I mean. Like, just the way the public sort of reacted to it.
No, wait till the report comes out.
Yeah.
How thankful you are then, because whatever's in that report, Sox are going to be killed over it.
Ask for your patience. Just wait for the report.
Where is the report, by the way?
I thought we were going to have it by now.
Well, what's the holdup?
I don't know.
A lot of investigating for nothing being there.
How about this?
How about the Patriots report? Where's that one, by the way?
Are those still working or not?
Yeah. Forget it.
Are we ever going to get that one back either?
Yesterday's news. But this report, Beetle, not only do we not have the MLB report on the Red Sox, everyone seems to know what's in it. Oh, they're not going to get a lot of punishment. Not a lot there. We've been hearing that for 3 weeks. What? Have people seen the report? People gotten, like, really good authority, good reports as to what is going to be in that final draft? If so, it should have been out by now. What's the effing holdup? Unless Major League Baseball had second thoughts. I'm like, wow. Really getting killed for not doing enough to the Astros. Maybe we need to rethink this.
Could Rob Manfred hammer the Red Sox for his own good PR? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah. Maybe coming to some different conclusions based on the findings. Hey, you found what you found, but can the conclusions be changed based on what you found, based on what the reaction has been to your lack of discipline to the Astros? I wouldn't put it past him.
I wouldn't either. Because you know why? I don't trust this commissioner.
How does David Ortiz serve both those masters?
Oh, wait. Now that will be interesting. If the Red Sox get crushed by Manfred and he goes overboard on the Red Sox, well, David Ortiz says he's doing a good job and he's the man. You know? Yay, Manfred.
He's on all the billboards around here.
And we can get to this later. But the thing with David Ortiz is he shouldn't feel beholden to either one of these sides. He should be in control of them based on what he did and what he means to the sport. And he can prop himself up as an icon for the sport in a lot of different ways. But instead, he's choosing this path where he's going to somehow once again be an employee of the Red Sox and of Major League Baseball.
He's an advisor.
I know.
Helicopter and plane rides aren't cheap.
If I were David Ortiz, I would turn that thing on its ear and say, I don't work for anybody anymore. I'm the star here. I'm the one that people love. I'm the one really in charge. But he's taken on this whole...
Do you get to go to the vineyards in France with the owner?
That's good gelato over there.
Do you want to go to the vineyards in France?
He apparently does.
Why would you want to do that?
And he wants John Henry in his corner for whatever trouble comes his way.
You don't want to go fill the grapes?
That ended up being beneficial.
Valuable.
I'll grant you
that. I would say, yep. He feels he owes him.
Yeah, squeeze the grape.
He probably does.
Suck the middle. Because you don't eat the grape skin. Because it's bitter.
More of your calls are coming up next. Celtics, great, entertaining game yesterday. They did not come out on the right side of it. I did want to talk about Kemba Walker in the All-Star game. Mm. We didn't get to that earlier when we talked Celtics. We'll do it with more of your calls on everything, including the Bruins ahead of the deadline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Yeah, a 4-time All-Star. He handles the rock like Gibraltar. From the Boston Celtics, give it up for Kemba Walker.
Yeah, And you say Shy City, Shy City, Shy City.
I'm coming home again. Do you think about me now and then?
Yeah.
Do you think about me now and then?
Okay, I missed all of that, the All-Star game. 100% of it.
Great intros.
Caught none of it.
I did too.
Is this Kanye and Coldplay? Was this at the All-Star game?
They used it in the intro. Oh, Jim just played
okay.
it.
Okay, sorry.
Kemba Walker played in that game and played 29 minutes? Or was it more than that?
Or maybe like 32. They weren't sure because of the untimed quarter.
Oh, okay. I saw 32 and 29. So let's go 32. Why not?
The fourth quarter took a long time to
32
play.
32 minutes he plays Ooh. In the All-Star game. How was the format, by the way? Was it as brutal as we thought it would be?
That was a good idea. Some people liked it.
It was a good idea. It just got ruined like all NBA games tend to get ruined now by the stoppages at the end.
Oof.
Official reviews, replays.
There's some dunks.
Really?
Out, huh?
Oh, yeah. In the All-Star game?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
A ton.
So,
and instead of ending on last shot's going to win it, this is what's so cool about it. Someone's going to have a chance. And there were a couple of cool chances, like Team LeBron at one point needed three, you know, to win it. They were up, you know, 154 to 152, and they were playing at 157. So LeBron takes it across half court, and he's like, hell, I'll just shoot it. I've made him from here, but I make him from here all the time. So there were some cool moments like that, but it ended on a free throw.
Kemba Walker plays 32 minutes, 29 minutes, whatever, a lot. He plays a lot in that game and has since said that it had nothing to do with the fact that his knee is sore, and he's dealing with knee soreness. He didn't play yesterday in a very, I think, statement type of opportunity for the Celtics. It's not a playoff game. Doesn't matter in the standings. Western Conference team, but one of the best in the league. One of the teams that's going to be there at the end. And you've got a chance to prove something in a real game that actually matters, and he's not playing yesterday, and he insists that it has nothing to do with him playing in the All-Star game. I would just like to say, in the words of the great Ron Burgundy, I don't believe you. I don't. Because if he doesn't play in that All-Star game, is there a chance he's playing yesterday against the Lakers? Of course! What are you doing playing in this stupid All-Star game? And it's not just a Kemba Walker thing.
Kyrie did this last year.
Oh, it's so lame.
Remember when Kyrie was hurt?
Like, these guys care about the game, which is weird.
Right. That's respect to them.
Because the game itself is not any good. Right?
Right.
No
All-Star games are good. Okay?
No, they're not. Thirty years ago, baseball had some good ones. Because guys sort of cared, and it could end up being a good game from time to time. It's been a long time since that was the case.
It was a good game, though. It was. They wanted to win. Those guys were arguing calls up and down. They were playing it like a real game.
The reaction on social media was really positive for it.
That part you can't argue. Those guys wanted to play a good game, and it ended up being entertaining at the end of that game.
Wonderful.
But
you know what was entertaining?
Who cares?
Yesterday's Celtics-Lakers game was entertaining, and it may have been even more entertaining from a Celtics perspective because it's possible they would have won the game had Kemba Walker been there to play, because I think they needed him yesterday. They needed a big clutch shot from Kemba Walker, and they didn't have him available. Because he's got a sore knee. So why is he playing in the All-Star game to begin with? And why is he playing that many minutes? I hate that. I hate that they care about this game. Care about the regular season games. Care about your team. And another thing, how about how friendly everybody was again yesterday after the game?
Oh, my God.
That's the new norm in this
Woo.
League. Oh, make sure that everyone gets to hug each other and swap jerseys or whatever else these guys like to do.
Peter, it's one thing to hug. It's one thing to whisper sweet nothings into each other's ears. And between Tatum and LeBron, oh, my God.
It's happening in the NFL now, too. It's crept into the NFL, and I hate it there, too.
Those two had a lot to say to each other after that game.
Can't you guys Secrets just have a healthy hate for each other?
No! No! They're going to want to play together soon! Let's try and do it next year. Come on. Oh, my God. So many secrets back and forth. And just they all really, really like each other. That's the most important thing. The superstars are all very friendly with the other superstars.
Team us.
and a bona fide superstar in LeBron James, you stay close to the up-and-coming superstars in this league, like Jason Tatum.
Yep.
That's the most important thing.
Who's got
You got the home win. That's nice if you're a Laker. But more important than that, you find that Jason Tatum after the game, and you hold him close. You bring him in for a full body hug. Get your lips right in his ear and tell him everything you want to tell him. Tell him at that moment.
Don's in the car on the Bruins. Hey, Don.
Hello.
Hey, Don.
Hey.
What's up?
You that?
Yeah, we're here. Are you there?
Yeah. All right. Let me get up speakerphone for you.
Oh, okay. We're not going to do that. We're going to go to Joe in Rhode Island.
Oh.
Joe.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Joe.
Good afternoon, actually. Good afternoon.
Terrific.
I think the Patriots are 50-50 with Tom Brady. I think they just need more offense on the team. The defense is all set. Tight end. There's one out there in the college ranks for LSU, Randy Moss's son.
Thaddeus Moss, tight end. Probably be a fourth or fifth round pick. Yeah, I'd take a flyer on that guy. Sure. No problem.
He doesn't even look like a tight end. He's more like a receiver. Like a hybrid.
Sort of like a Hernandez type.
Sure is.
Hate to bring that name up, but...
Wore the same number too, didn't he?
I think you're right. 81?
Yeah.
But not as athletic or fast.
Right.
But in terms of build, I get what you're saying. We'll get to today's takeaways. Oh, wait, hold on. Don called back. Well, let's give Don another chance.
All right.
Put him on hold. We know it's him. What's he doing? Yeah. Don, we got a good connection now?
Yep.
All right, go ahead.
Yep. All right, good. Danny Ainge was groomed by Red Auerbach, correct?
Sure.
All right. Was Don Sweeney at all groomed by Harry Sinden?
I don't know the answer to that.
I would say no.
I don't have the answer now. I don't have the answer because if he was, he's doing a horrible job. Yes, he's had a great week, but Harry Sinden had what? One of the most...
And your phone crapped out again? I don't think he was, though. He didn't work under Harry Sinden. Like, there's a huge gap between Sinden's time, and Sinden's been like an advisor.
Can we just do another show tomorrow? Finish this show.
You want to root for Harry's? I want more on that tomorrow.
I don't.
Don, call us back tomorrow. I want to know what the hell the analogy is there.
Well, he didn't know. He was asking the question. You have to come up with the answer, and we'll just lead the show with your answer.
Today's takeaways are next.
Stick and move.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They give.
Give it to me.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's sweet.
Right. Today's takeaway is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve a consultation today or go online to awaken180weightloss.com. Sure, we have nothing from today, right?
We've got a quote from Johnny Gaudreau.
Oh.
Right, Jim?
Yes, after Prague came back on the ice. I had to pay?
So he didn't get traded.
I had to go pay.
He said to go to the bathroom. It's good to know.
I had May 15th.
It's got to be him screwing with people, right? Like telling his teammates, hey, look, watch this.
No.
Johnny Gaudreau is a Bruin.
Johnny Gaudreau had to pee.
Players are aware of trade deadline days, though. You wouldn't do something like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, look at Enos Kanter, right?
Yeah.
He was excited that he didn't get dealt. Remember he put that video on?
Yes. He means Enos Kanter.
Oh, whatever thing.
Enos Kanter.
It's not Enos Kanter?
Enos Kanter.
Yeah.
Enos.
My accent. Enos Kanter.
Big Enos Burdett and little Enos Burdett.
Zoe came out hot today. Hot. Been over 10 days. Wow. 13th was the last day. February 13th. Nice. Everyone good?
Everybody's good?
Yeah. Nice.
It's all good.
Nice. Good to see you.
Good to be away from sports.
We haven't had a Brady take in that much time.
Yeah.
I got a new one.
What's the date?
I got a new one.
Oh.
What? What's that? Not going anywhere? Yeah, as in not leaving football is what Tom Brady's saying.
Right.
What's your latest on Tom Brady?
Mine?
Yeah.
We're getting there, bud. It's a good take.
We're getting there.
You keep him away from a microphone for a week, he's going to come out spitting fire.
Pent up.
You know what you got? Well, get there. Find out pretty soon.
No, wait. That's why they play the games.
That's why we do free agency.
Like what? Getting there, bud.
What? What do you put your money on? Well,
50-50.
50-50. Hit me.
50-50.
Put on the double zero.
50-50. He could leave. He could stay.
I always wonder, like, the way on roulette, why they kept the red away from the black, like where you can play just red or black and not put them together to where you put it right in the middle. Play both. But you would lose, though.
I'm going to put a $50 chip on red, a $50 one on black.
50 big ones.
I had a friend who had a fail-safe method for winning at roulette.
Which is?
Which is you bet red, right? If it comes up, you win. Great, right? You bet it again. If it comes up black, then you double your bet on red. If it comes up black again, then you double that double, right?
Okay.
Do you know how quickly a $10 bet
it's a lot of money
can turn into like a $480 bet, like that. Oh, it happens fast. Yeah. But once you hit it, ooh, now I'm back above even.
Zone.
So that just for the Brady thing, right?
Yeah. Oh boy.
Watch this. All right.
Okay.
He's playing football for the Patriots next year.
Yeah.
100%.
Yes.
That's what I believe. Anything else, I'm going to come in here, I'm going to be shocked. He's playing football for the Patriots next year. Even if you're 51%.
There you go.
Try it again. So.
Brady will be playing for the Patriots next year. And we will be playing not in Kansas City for the opener. We'll be hosting the home opener with Tom Brady running out of his own tunnel.
All right.
That I 100% believe.
Okay.
All right. There you go.
There it is.
Better play for him.
Right. That's what he's got his money on.
Oh, no. It's 50-50.
He hits a market. He's gone.
There it is again.
Don't couch it. Is he going to hit the market?
No.
They're gonna
get it done.
They're going to get it done beforehand.
Yeah. They'll get it done with
CBA
the
or no
days.
CBA?
Who cares about CBA?
Forget it. See? Good.
Good. Good, good. You were singing Another One Bites the Dust earlier.
That's a good song.
Dua Lipa song.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
T-Bone mixed them together.
Oh, good.
Those two songs. Oh. The internet needs this.
Steve walks barely down the street with the brim pool way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of his feet. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready?
Pause.
You
screwed up.
Making
you screwed up.
Bleed.
You got to speed up the lyrics there.
Yeah, dummy. You just can't.
T-Bone.
I sped the lyrics
gotta
up.
Speed
they are sped up.
Up.
They are sped up.
Oh, they
no, they're not.
Are.
Can't be. No, they're not. That sounds like regular Eddie Murphy.
You've got to do it more.
Steve walks down the street.
It's off.
Machine guns ready to go.
It's off.
Are you ready? Hey, are you ready?
Mine was better.
Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beat. Yeah. Another one bites the dust.
That works.
Yeah. Now you got it.
Another one bites the dust.
Better.
Another one bites the dust.
No. Hey. See?
That's funky, huh?
He put that together like in 5 minutes. So he just did that.
It is T-Bone.
You workshop it a little bit. I think there's something there, T-Bone.
Well, thank God we didn't put it live on the radio. You know,
yeah, whatever.
Yeah, worked out.
Remember
when
Jungle O would send us music and we sped it up and it was so much better than his regular music?
He got very upset.
He stopped talking to us since then.
Are we going to play Tom and Worcester's submission for the day?
No, that's
what'd he do?
Tom and Worcester sent us that because it's a 5-year anniversary of Zolak and Bertrand. He sent us a really nice, you know, he put together one of his fantastic productions.
You could play it right now over this bed. You know you could, Jim. You know you could do it.
We'd be doing him a favor if we didn't play it. Do you want to do him a favor or not?
It was that bad, huh?
Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy, 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 happy anniversary, happy, 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 happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
See you tomorrow at 10. Bye.
Thanks, Tom.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on a Monday. It's a re-entry Monday. Felger and Maz is presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and simulcast across New England on NBC Sports Boston. Also brought to you by DraftKings. Our re-entry Mondays, where everything from the weekend is on the table, is presented by East Boston Savings Bank. This first hour will be re-entry, although we're going to have a big eye on the NHL trade deadline, which comes your way in just 1 hour's time. 57 minutes, to be exact.
1 hour until the NHL trade deadline.
If I got to keep trying to squeeze my ass in those seats, you better make a move, Sweeney.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.